Welcome back to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Altman. And before I introduce my guest, you know, one of the things about our guest today, I believe in as an entrepreneur, it is so important to really stand out and differentiate yourself with your client base. And I feel this guest today does an outstanding job of doing that. Elizabeth Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark.
So Elizabeth, you know, we're talking today about family law, which
yes.
can be a very difficult topic for so many people. And, you know, I always like to start and try to understand your passion and your background for why you would want to take on such a difficult endeavor.
So I like family law for a couple of different reasons. The first is that I am divorced myself, so I have a firsthand understanding of how important it is to have competent, friendly, knowledgeable help during family law issues. The second reason is that I've always been drawn to litigation. Family law is one of the areas of law that is frequently litigated, and I really like being in court. I like arguing motions. I have a background in theater, so it's actually fun for me.
That's great. That's great.
It's a good fit in terms of lawyering. And the third reason is that I'm an extrovert, and I really like working with people. I don't like working with entities as my clients. I like working with people. So.
Well, I got to tell you, Elizabeth, that's so funny you say that because I remember I've gone through divorce myself. And I remember when I went to court, I was expecting something theatrical. You know, it's like you see it on TV. It always looks so theatrical. And it's interesting. And I want to focus on something you just said, because I think that's one of the many things that makes you stand out. And that is when people envision a lawyer, I think they want toughness, right? You're going to stand up for them and you're going to defend them to the hilt. And what I think makes you unique is you have that element of toughness and competition, but you have an element of caring and kindness. And I think with lawyers, you don't often see that blend. So how did that blend happen? Is this naturally who you are? Or?
Yeah. So I am naturally not a jerk. I'm a nice person. That's why I like to help people, and I use that strategically as I'm working for clients. So who I am can be really, really helpful in terms of forging a bond with opposing counsel or with the judge during oral argument. I'm genuinely there looking for areas where we can all agree and come to the best outcome for this family, in my opinion, right? And in my client's opinion frequently. But that being said, you know, there's a little bit of fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee about me, where if push comes to shove, there are areas where I really need to defend my client's interests, and I will, absolutely. So
I'm just so excited we had a Muhammad Ali reference on the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. Elizabeth, I didn't see that coming from a mile away. That was brilliant. Oh, my God. I'm falling in love with you all over again. All right. So, Elizabeth, no, all kidding aside, though, you actually pointed out something that I don't think people going through divorce really consider, and that is relationships with opposing counsel and judges. And I think a lot of times you want your lawyer to be like, you're going to stand up to that other attorney and you're going to tell. But that's not what it is at all. The relationships with the judges and the opposing counsel are integral to being successful.
Right. So your relationship with the judge, you really need to be one where the judge respects your work and they know that you're not going to lie, you're not dishonest, you're diligent, you've done your due diligence on the case, you know what's possible and what's not possible, you're not going to argue something frivolous. So you want a relationship of trust with the judge. And with opposing counsel, I think people are often confused, right, because of all the episodes of Law and Order we've seen and all the yelling and pounding on tables. And I think we can confuse that for good lawyering. But in family law, the truth of the matter is that upwards of 95% of cases ultimately settle. And that means that a separation agreement is ultimately reached. And you've worked that out with opposing counsel. If you don't have a relationship with opposing counsel where you're able to talk through the issues of the case from moment one, if it's total acrimony, if it's as acrimonious as the parties, then it's going to make it harder to reach that settlement. And the settlement is beneficial in most situations for most people because you're able to craft your own fate. You know what you're signing on to. Whereas if you go through a full trial with the judge, you're not in control any of the outcomes. Mm. It may go in your favor. It may not. Some things may go in your favor. Some things may not. But it's not going to be a really personalized outcome because you're not crafting it yourself.
Yeah, and I think, Elizabeth, one of the interesting dynamics of family law is, you know, people get, your clients, people get so fired up and emotionally excited about what the issues are. Mm-hmm. And they want solutions. They want them resolved. The problem is, and you and I talked about this offline, is the courts have seen everything. So you have to kind of balance your clients' emotions tied into the issues, but also giving the advice and having them trust you to know this is not the battle you want to fight. And that, I imagine that has to be very difficult to balance those things.
It is difficult. It's really, really difficult. And one of the things that I look for in clients who want to work with me is developing a rapport with the client that is trusting. Because a lot of family law problems are, like I said, worked out outside the courtroom. Like if we have a situation where pickup and drop off are not going well, for example, for a family, because the relationship between the parents is too acrimonious, the best thing for that family is to do everything in our power to ratchet down that tension so that the parenting plan doesn't fall apart, so that nobody ends up with supervised visitation, so that we're not filing a contempt in court that costs everybody more money. So being able to have that relationship with the client where they're able to come to me for advice when they need to and they're willing to take my advice when I give it is very important.
Yeah, and I, you know, just to tell our audience, you know, and Elizabeth, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but you're not just helping people going through divorce for the first time. You're helping people through modifications after the divorce is already settled. I mean, there's various stages that people come to you for help, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you get divorced and you have a 3-year-old, you're going to have one parenting plan. That's not going to be the same parenting plan you have when that child is 10 right. or 15, because different stages require sort of different things become more appropriate. The child has different activities, different school schedule, et cetera. And the parents may have different schedules at that point as well. They might have a different job. They may have moved to a different town. I mean, things change. 18 years is a long time, which is how long the court will deal with the parenting plan until the child is 18 and reaches the age of majority. So you could have a client potentially where you're going through modifications periodically for almost 20 years.
And Elizabeth, I know a lot of your clients value so much your wisdom and advice and help how you help them achieve clarity as far as the strategy and how to approach the process. But you've often talked about it is critical when clients come to you that they have a clear outcome in mind mm-hmm. and that they really have a sense of urgency to achieve the outcome. And so why are those two things so important?
Those two things are important because the process is painful. You know, it's going to hurt your wallet. That's the reality of it. It costs money to hire an attorney. It costs money to be in court because you might need to take the day off work. All of these things are costing you time, effort, and money. You may need to do things that your lawyer tells you to do that you don't want to do. Filling out paperwork, for example. I mean, nobody likes to do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Getting mm-hmm. financial records in order. It's kind of a pain in the neck. So it's that motivation and that goal that you have in mind that is going to keep you moving throughout the process. And that's what keeps the lawyer-client relationship productive.
I love that. What about for people who are sitting out there watching this today, or standing, what about if I'm sitting there and I'm going through any stage of this process and I have to hire an attorney mm-hmm. and I don't know where to begin. I've never done this before and people are referring attorneys to me. What is the advice? What are the criteria in your mind that if you finish the sentence, if you're going to choose someone to handle your divorce or your parenting plan, these are the criteria you should consider. What would you say?
I think you need to choose a person that you feel comfortable with. That is going to go a long way in making that relationship beneficial to you. So for different people, that might mean different things. And there's everything from fee arrangements that could come into that to the person's knowledge base, their education, their level of experience. You know, some people come to me because I'm divorced myself. And so for them, that's a really important characteristic of mine. They feel like I understand where they're coming from, and that's uncommon. So I think choosing the person you feel comfortable with, even if you've already hired a lawyer and you feel you get to a point where you feel uncomfortable, you as the client are entitled to find other counsel. Look at your fee agreement. The client can withdraw at any time. So it's...
So you actually made me think of something there, Elizabeth. I think a lot of people, when they go through this process, if they achieve a bad, what they perceive as a bad result in the process, there's an inclination to immediately blame the attorney and say, well, the attorney didn't do their job. So on the flip side of my question, if you have an attorney, how would you know, when I say how would you know you're not happy or they're not doing, what would be something that you would say, you know, you have the wrong attorney. If this happens, you have the wrong attorney. What would be something that would bother you if you were going through it that you would say, geez, I don't think I have the right attorney?
Well, actually, I have an example from my
divorce. Fantastic.
So the first lawyer I hired, the consultation had gone well. But there were a few issues in my case that were potentially complicated.
Okay.
And the lawyer that I had hired had a lot of trouble grappling with those difficult issues and wasn't able to reach within a reasonable period of time a good understanding of some basic things in the case that could come up with the opposing party.
Okay.
So I ended up in a position where I understood that I was going to be fighting my lawyer and everybody else. So I was concerned about his ability to be a strong advocate for me because he was expressing so much doubt about certain aspects of my story that I felt were really fundamental to the case.
Okay, well.
So I had further consultations with other attorneys, and I got very different feedback on the same issues. So that made me feel a lot more comfortable, and I ended up hiring a much more expensive attorney.
Well. Okay, very interesting. So preparation. Let's talk about preparation for a minute. You refer to yourself as not a bang-on-the-table lawyer.
No, I'm not.
And we talked a little earlier in the show about perception of how you want your lawyer to be. So, you know, we all know why preparation is important. I guess, how do you prepare so you're adequately ready to defend your clients?
So it's important to know the universe of the law that you're in. A lot of the standards in family law, the language can become a little bit loosey-goosey. And family law in Massachusetts has a reputation for not dealing with the statutes or the case law very much. It doesn't come up very much at oral argument in your run-of-the-mill case. But to know it makes a huge difference. I've actually had opposing counsel lie to me about the state of the law during negotiations, and it was because I was prepared and I knew the state of the law that I knew what to take and what not to take from what opposing counsel was saying. So my goal is always to out-prepare the other party.
Love that. And you spoke, I've heard you speak about being solutions-oriented, and what really stuck out to me is how you explained, because this is something at Mindset Go, we really focus on different kinds of intelligence. So explain how you view intelligence when it comes to being solutions-oriented.
So I like to think of myself as a very clever attorney, and that means that I'm able to look at the same problem from multiple angles and come up with different ways of solving the problem. So at the moment where we have a court hearing or I'm entering negotiations, I'm very flexible in terms of the skill sets that I'm able to use. I can go to oral argument, I can write an argument, I can forge a cordial relationship with opposing counsel. I know what I'm going to do if the relationship with opposing counsel is for some reason not productive, if that's not a relationship of trust. For example, opposing counsel that has lied to me in the past, I'm never going to trust that lawyer again in that case or any other case. So I know how I want to deal with those different situations. And I'm not talking about book smarts, although that's really important. I'm talking about being really strategic and using that strategic muscle a lot when you're thinking about this client and how to get them where they want to go.
A little final thoughts today. Two interesting questions to end the show today. First of all, what's the best compliment you've ever received from a client?
I trust you completely.
Right? Yeah, trust. Trust everything. Yes. And the second question would be, when you retire and eventually stop being an attorney and stop advocating for people, and you were to look at your gravestone, what do you want your legacy to be in the field that you would be so proud to know people would remember you by?
I would be really, really proud to know that I helped people out of situations that they needed help getting out of.
Okay. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Love your fire. Love your passion. Keep doing it, Elizabeth.
Right, I will.
Thank you, audience, very much for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Altman. Thanks to DaVideo Company for doing another wonderful job, and we will see you next time.